Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. You know, many people dream of fame and fortune. I raised two daughters, and they went through the phases where they wanted to be a fairy tale princess, and they even participated in some youth beauty pageants and all that, always with the dream of walking across the stage as Miss America or whatever. But what happens when you actually win? Well, my guest today lived the rags-to-riches story of those dreams. Norma Joyce Dougherty was raised in what was then rural Prince Edward Island in the extreme eastern part of Canada as a poor farm girl relegated to daily chores on the farm. Then suddenly, she was thrust into the limelight of national and international fame as Miss Dominion of Canada and a contestant in Miss World, Miss Universe, Queen of the Pacific, and a semifinalist in the Miss International Beauty Pageants. And her life story was even made into a screenplay, praise God. But having faced abuse and heartache as a young child, she then faced an identity crisis because of her newfound fame. She's a speaker and mentor and also the author of a great book, Island Girl, A Triumph of the Spirit, which we'll be discussing today. Help me welcome to the program, Norma Joyce Dougherty. Norma, thank you for taking the time to join with us today.
Thank you, Pastor Bob. I am thrilled to be here with you. Thank you so much.
Amen. Now, the first question I always start with is this. Other than that brief information I just shared, can you tell us in your own words, who is Norma Joyce Dougherty?
Of course. I'm a widow, a mother, a young, fun-loving Nana, two grandchildren. And just as importantly, I am a woman who at the age of 44 discovered an amazing truth. And that truth was learning the difference between religion and relationship with Christ.
Amen.
Which led Pastor Bob to an even further discovery, and that is knowing the difference between happiness and joy.
Amen. Amen. And you grew up on Prince Edward Island in Canada. We just talked before we started the recording that I was able to visit up there a few years back.
Yes.
And your book says you came from a large family. What was life like growing up for you?
There was 10 children in the family. And of course, we were what I call poorest church mice. But we were a very hardworking family, and we strived, all of us working together, to make ends meet. It was an idyllic type of life, but of course we had a lot of trials and troubles and so on and so forth. So my mother, I would refer to my mother because I loved fairy tales so much. We didn't have a lot of toys, so I read those little fun little colorful books, fairy tale books, until they became my reality. And I would say it was like the little old woman who lived in the shoe. She had so many children, she didn't know what to do. So It was tough. We had a lot of chores on the farm. I remember one of the stories I tell in my book is how my sister and I went into the hen house to gather the eggs, and we realized there was a skunk eating our eggs, and my father wasn't too happy about it. So we decided as two young girls that we were going to catch that skunk for our dad. So that's a whole humorous story in my book, if somebody would like to read it sometime. But
how long did it take you to clean up after that?
I think it was a couple of weeks before we were able to alleviate the smell either in our home or schoolroom at school.
Yeah, we had a skunk in our shed in Michigan, grow up in Michigan, and I did kind of the sort of same thing. You know, I was, you know, I thought it was a cat at first, right?
Ah.
So I was trying to stomp on, you know, on the floor and shake things around to get it to run out.
Yeah,
it didn't work.
Yeah, it kind of sticks to you like baby oil, you know, you just slathered in this baby oil that sticks to your skin. You can't get it off.
Yeah, it was not it was not pleasant.
Because of the discovery of the amazing truth, knowing the difference between religion and relationship with Christ, I have come to believe that every person in the whole wide world needs to discover this truth.
Amen. Amen.
And that is why I wrote my book, Island Girl.
Amen. And you said you lived a fairy tale life to escape problems at home. Can you explain that for us?
Yes. As I said, I started reading fairy tales until I believed I would find happily ever after. I was going to have what everyone else had, you know, the better things in life, a prince at the end of the rainbow, the marriage and all that. So I started pursuing perfection. And then as you said, one day, my fantasy is reality when I win the local beauty pageant and go on to win the national title, which is equivalent. Miss Dominion of Canada was equivalent to the Miss USA. Mm. And that pageant is based on beauty, whereas Miss America is based on talent. And I used to sing at home as a child in the first five girls. We used to sing in the choir at church, but I didn't feel like I was particularly talented, and I was happy when I didn't have to sing in the national pageant. But it was based on beauty, poise, and personality. I won and went on to participate in the four international pageants. So, I said, fantasy met reality. I was living my dream life. I was traveling all around the world, meeting celebrities, heads of states. Everywhere I went, I was receiving a bouquet of red roses. And so it was a Cinderella dream life for me.
Amen. Amen. And I understand one day you were watching Bob Hope on television, and where the dream started. Is that right?
Yes.
And then you said you wanted to meet him, right?
Yes. As a young child, I was approximately 16 years old at the time, and we had just received electricity in rural Prince Edward Island. And my parents and I were at home alone. The other kids were at school, and I was we were watching the Bob Hope USO tour, and Miss World came on stage. Of course, he always introduced Miss World to the troops, and she had on a beautiful evening gown and a crown, and that was the first time I ever there was a Miss World. And there was this vision in my head and a voice that said, that's going to be you someday. Now, many people may not believe this story, but it actually happened. And I kind of dismissed it, Pastor Bob, because I didn't believe there was a path for a poor young farm girl to travel around the world and to even be in Miss World. So I dismissed it. But then God opened the doors for me by getting me involved in these local pageants and then the national, and had no idea that the Miss Dominion of Canada held the franchise to these four internationals. I was so excited about the possibility of meeting Bob Hope. So that was part of my journey.
Amen. Now, how did you get started? I mean, you said it was a local pageant. Was it, you know, something like in your community, or how did that even get started? Yes.
The community every year has what they call the Harvest Festival, and part of the Harvest Festival is to select young girls who have reached a certain age, usually around 17, to enter into the pageant and represent a local business. I represented the Lions Club. And, you know, you get invited. A lot of these businesses know who's coming of age and, you know, who they would like to invite. So I was invited by my high school principal, actually, to represent the Lions Club. And from there, went on to try out for the Miss PEI, which was equivalent to Miss America, had the talent portion, but I didn't do well in that, and I was not a winner. But then apparently the franchise holders of Miss Dominion had seen my picture in the local newspaper when I won the Miss Community pageant, and they wrote and asked me if I would represent Prince Edward Island, because at the time they did not have a representative coming in from Prince Edward. So of course my parents, we had to really think about this, and my parents finally agreed to let me go and participate. It was a big thing for my, because we didn't have money to travel. We didn't have the clothes. I made my own gown, my prom dress. I had to make my presentation dress. I mean, it's quite a thing. I didn't even wear makeup at the time, Pastor Bob. My sister, Edie, who was older than me, she had to introduce me to makeup and how to wear it. And she even gave me her little makeup purse when I went off to the pageant, so that I could at least have something with me.
Mm-hmm. So was it televised? Were your parents watching it live on the television?
My mother came with me, and she was in the audience. My father stayed at home with the children, other children, and it was not televised, I was told, because they didn't have the, it was held in Niagara Falls, and they didn't have the ability in Niagara Falls to televise the pageant. So, of course, after I won, we called home to tell everybody, and they didn't believe us. No way did she win. But one thing about me growing up, and my sisters will tell you this, I always wanted my own way, and I strived for my own way. And it was the truth. I always wanted my own way, and that usually led to several quarrels. But when I won, they were definitely surprised.
Amen. So things proceeded and you continued winning. And then you had a chance to meet Bob Hope or be on the same stage with him, right?
Yes.
And how did that go?
Well, it was a bit of a disappointment because it was in 70 when the Miss World pageant was held in England, and the Women's Lib movement was a big movement at the time. And so they came into the arena where we were having the London Palladium, and they actually it was at the Royal Albert Hall. They were throwing smoke bombs onto the stage and accusing this pageant for being a cattle market. And there was even some homemade bombs that were going outside a facility. So it was not what I expected. I was hoping to at least shake hands with Bob Hope. I was hoping for a signature, you know, those kind of things. Yeah. And even in my heart, I was hoping to win Miss World and travel to the USO with him on the USO tour. But none of that happened. So,
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Why did you wait till now to publish your book?
Well, it took me a long time to discover the truth that I was talking about, the difference between religion and relationship with Jesus. I was 44 years old when I learned that. And, you know, I grew up in the church, but no one spoke to us or taught us what it meant to be in relationship with Christ. And I started learning this at age 44. And when I learned it, it was like the most amazing discovery to me. Because when we give our heart to Christ, or we come to the end of ourselves, and this is what happened. I was in what you would call an identity crisis. I was asking questions after all the pageantry, because the further and into the pageants, Pastor Bob, the further and further away I came from my family, from my home, and from any sense of belonging. So this identity crisis that I'm talking about was real, and it was deep. And I was asking the questions, who am I, where do I belong, and what is my purpose in life? And I went to university after that and studied philosophy. And I realized that the pursuit of happiness was something that Socrates wrote about 300 years before Christ. And he asked the question, what is the right way or the best way for man to live? And in his investigation, he concluded that the unexamined life is not worth living. Mm. He further concluded that the best way is the spiritual way. And when I studied that, I had further trials. I realized I was pursuing perfection and happiness. And there is a difference in pursuing those the things which lead us to realize we can never live a perfect life on our own apart from God. Yeah. We cannot create the perfect life that we're trying to create. And then we bump into what we call the end of ourselves, or what I call my wit's end, because we make so many mistakes. We have so many failures. We have shame and guilt, and it brings us to a place of brokenness. And I felt like Humpty Dumpty. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put me together again. And when I say that, I mean nothing in this world was putting me back together. Nothing was helping with my wit's end. One day, with all the trials, the twists and turns and the detours, I opened the scriptures, and there was a scripture verse. It was like an invitation from God. He said, call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you know. And man, when I read that, being the critical thinker that I am, I wanted to know what these great and mighty things were. And I learned them. And I am so excited about learning them and what they mean to me, knowing the difference between happiness and joy. I want to share that. That's why I wrote the book. And my book is actually directed primarily to young girls and women, because psychology today says that there is anywhere from 70 to 80% of women in identity crisis. And if we can share this knowledge with them, the place that brings us the peace and the joy and the contentment that is missing in our lives, and switching up the highway, what I call striving for excellence, there's a difference. Strive for excellence as if we're doing it unto the Lord. And it makes a big difference in our lives. It gives us a sense of freedom. We don't have to continue pursuing that perfect life.
Yeah, amen.
And there's one other thing. Amen. I don't mean to.
No, go ahead.
But there's one other thing that I have come across in my journey, and that is that women and girls are constantly bombarded by marketing campaigns aimed at the body to look and act and be a certain way, aimed at the mind to achieve a highest level of education. And it leaves out the third aspect, the spiritual development. And then I liken this to a three-legged stool. With one leg broken, we are going to topple over. Mm-hmm. We have to, as Socrates says, examine our life, examine our heart, and find that spiritual development, because that is the only thing that fills that void in our hearts that God placed there, a yearning to seek after him and to come to know him. So the great and mighty truth that I found when I started is that, yes, we can be friends with Jesus. He said to his disciples, I no longer call you servant, I call you friend. And when I learned that, it made all the difference for me. And he also says, anyone hears me knocking at the door of his heart and opens his heart, then I will come in and I will dine with him and I will eat with him. That's relationship. That's friendship. And so as I grew in that knowledge, I also learned that we sincerely give our heart to Christ. When we sincerely want to change our ways, then he will send the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. And that Spirit is our helper. He's our teacher, our guide, our guidance counselor. And he gives us the fruit of his Spirit, which is everything we long for. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And I mentor these young girls through a nonprofit here in my hometown. And I tell them, if you lack one of these fruits, pick it today. If you need patience in this moment, pick it. This is your fruit. This is your help to get through any trial that you're having, any difficulty. You know, this is how we get through. This is what gives us the joy like none other has ever known, and the contentment to not constantly pursuing happiness.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for this portion of the interview with Norma Joyce Dougherty, former Miss Dominion of Canada, who is also the author of a book called Island Girl, which we've been discussing today, which is basically her story. She outlines her rags-to-riches story and then the life that most women just dream about, and being on the international stage with these beauty pageants, and what life was like, and how all that led to an identity crisis that just haunted her. And now she's got her solid feet underneath her again, but she's sharing her story to inspire other young women, other women that have faced identity crisis, maybe not for the same reasons she did, but either way, you're still going through an identity crisis. And this book is so inspiring. You need to get your copy of this book. Go down the show notes, click the link, order your copy today. I'd recommend you order two or three. You have teenage either daughters or granddaughters, or you know, neighbors, business associates, maybe co-workers in your office that have daughters that are focused so much on the glitter, the glamour, and all of that. And as Norma has shared, all that glitters is not gold. Amen. But be sure to come back for part two, because it's just such a riveting story. You do not want to miss any of it. Okay, until then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but and only a Christian can become a faith caster. Faith Casters, your voice, your platform, your success.